What is the most valuable thing that you have in life? I've heard a person saying that even if they were borderline financially, being self-employed was really important to them. They didn't want to work for anyone else anymore. I don't know whether they had a bad experience or not, but that's what they said. Independence of employment was more precious to them than financial security. Some people might say that freedom was particularly precious to them. And I think that might be the case if you've lived someplace where you weren't so free and then moved into some place where freedom was available and there. This evening I would like us to look at these verses at the beginning of 2 Peter chapter 1. And it would be good if you just have your Bibles open in front of you at page 1018 in the church Bible, so that we can refer to that from time to time as to what Peter says there. We are just going to look at the first two verses in particular, but I'll be referring to other bits here and there. Straight away at the start of this letter, it becomes clear what matters most to Peter. Let's read again what he says just in the first two verses. Simeon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing or precious with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's immediately clear what the theme of this letter of Peter is going to be. It's faith. It's the faith that Peter has. And what is that faith that Peter has? It's a faith in Jesus. Inevitably, when you're talking to people, they end up talking about what matters most to them. And in the space of those two short verses, Peter names Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. He describes himself here as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. How would you define yourselves in just a few words? Well, that's how Peter defines himself, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. In other words, his life is all about serving Jesus. Why? Because Jesus had called him. And Jesus had sent him. This is not something he chose. He himself was chosen. Then he speaks of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. And at the end of verse 2, of Jesus our Lord. Again and again in this letter, Peter speaks of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And right at the end in chapter 3, Peter ends his letter where he began with the words, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So Peter's faith is in Jesus. During Jesus' earthly life, Peter had spent almost 3 years travelling with him, listening to him, watching him. And those memories were extremely important to him. But when he talks about knowing Jesus, he doesn't just mean facts about Jesus. He doesn't mean memories. He means knowing him personally in the here and now. Jesus is alive. He is Lord and Saviour now. He died. He rose. He ascended and he sent his Spirit. And Peter has a living relationship with him. And that's what his faith in Jesus is all about. That faith of Peter is precious and meaningful to him. By this stage of his life, it's been precious and meaningful to him for many years because he was no longer a young man. How precious and meaningful was it? Well, again and again, incidents in his life make clear how valuable his faith in Jesus is to him. So, for instance, Peter's faith is more precious to him than his job and his livelihood. Mark tells us how early in his public ministry, Jesus came to Peter, Simon as he was called then, while he was fishing. That was the family business, and he was in it. That was his job and his livelihood. And Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And Mark says, "And immediately they left their nets and followed him." Peter and his brother went and followed Jesus. Following Jesus was more important to Peter than his job or his livelihood. Peter's faith is also more important to him than money. After the death and resurrection of Jesus, Peter makes a very telling remark on one occasion when he is faced with a beggar, a man crippled from birth who asked him for money. Remember the incident recorded in Acts. In fact, God uses Peter to heal the man, but before Peter does that, he says to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He has no money. Why? Because he gave up the pursuit of money in order to follow Jesus. His faith in Jesus was more important to him than money. Peter's faith was also more important to him than avoiding suffering. Acts 5 tells us how he and the other apostles were pulled up in front of the religious authorities for telling people about Jesus. And the account ends in chapter 5 with these words, "And when they," that's the religious authorities, "had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus." You see, they just carried on preaching Jesus where they had left off. Peter's faith was more important to him than comfort or the avoidance of suffering. And as that incident shows, it was also more important to him than the approval of the authorities, even if that meant getting into serious legal trouble. Peter's faith is more precious to him than all of his ethnic and religious traditions. Peter had been an Orthodox Jew and proud of it, but the risen Jesus showed him that all that had to change as well. The good news of Jesus was for the whole world, not just for the Jews. So in Acts 10, Peter, having just learned this lesson, says to the Roman Cornelius and others, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate or to visit anyone of another nation, but God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection." Here, Peter's ethnic and religious traditions have to undergo radical change because of his faith in Jesus. So is anything more precious to Peter than his faith in Jesus? No, not even his life. He preferred to die than to give up his faith. In the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John records how the risen Jesus said to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." So when Peter talks here in verse 1 about a faith as precious and valuable as his, you can begin to see just how precious it was to him. More precious and valuable than his work or money or avoiding suffering or having the approval of the authorities or his ethnic and religious traditions or even life itself. What then is this faith that's so precious to Peter? I think you can sum it up in two brief headings. Jesus, our Saviour, and Jesus is our Lord. Jesus is our Saviour, and Jesus is our Lord. First, Jesus is our Saviour. Peter writes this in chapter 1, verse 1 that we've read. To those who have obtained faith of equal standing, or as valuable and precious with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. What then does it mean for Jesus to be our Saviour? It means many, many things. But let me mention just three things tonight. First, this precious faith, so valuable to Peter, is the gift of Jesus to us. Faith is received from Jesus. All we have to do is accept it. Jesus saves us by giving us a faith that trusts him for salvation. Secondly, this precious faith comes through the righteousness of Jesus. The faith comes through the righteousness of Jesus to the unrighteous. What does it mean to be righteous? It means to be perfect and perfectly in the right with God. What does it mean to be unrighteous? Well, probably the opposite. It means to be imperfect or incomplete before God. It means to be a sinner living in rebellion against the rule of God in our lives, and therefore living as an enemy of God. We deserve nothing but condemnation, which brings death. Among many other things, to be saved means to be rescued from that condemnation that death and the death that we deserve. How then do the unrighteous receive the salvation that comes from faith through the righteousness of Jesus, as Peter says here? And the answer is through the great exchange, as Martin Luther put it. The great exchange that took place when Jesus died for us on the cross. The Apostle Paul puts it like this in Corinthians. For our sake, he, that is God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, that is in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, what happens when Jesus dies is that all of our sin and guilt is from us is transferred to the account of Jesus, as if he and not us had rebelled against the Father. And then the penalty that all of our sin and guilt deserves is paid by him. The death we deserve, he died. But there's more to it than that. On the positive side, all the righteousness of Jesus is transferred to our account. So when it comes to judgment, God looks on us as if we had lived like Jesus. And when it comes to welcoming us into his family and loving us, God looks on us as if we were Jesus, his beloved son. Romans 4 puts it in this way, and to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. His faith is counted as righteousness. Through the righteousness of Jesus, we receive this precious, valuable, saving faith. That means that, as Peter puts it a bit further on, in verse 9 of chapter 1, if you have this precious and valuable saving faith, then you have been cleansed from your past or former sins. They are washed away, swept away as if you had never done them. And the fact that Jesus is our Saviour through this precious and valuable faith also means that we are no longer in danger on the day of judgment. We're no longer in danger on the day of judgment. The day of judgment is real. And the danger that we are in without faith in Jesus is real. The Bible is quite clear about that. Nowadays, in this country, most people are quite blind to any such danger. They find the idea of a day of judgment almost laughable. But the fact that people scoff and ridicule a real danger doesn't make that danger any less real. In fact, it just makes the danger greater because it's ignored. If you're driving a car in winter and come across a sign which says slow down, danger, icy roads, and you ignore it or just make a joke about it and travel on as usual, the danger of you slipping or crashing in the car is just the same. But through active faith, Jesus saves us from that day of judgment. And the fact that Jesus is our Savior through this precious and valuable faith also means that we can look forward, as Peter says in verse 13 of chapter 3, to new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And we can look forward, as he says in chapter 1 verse 11, to an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you were here last Sunday evening, you'll remember what our Pastor Paul said to us about paradise past and paradise future. So faith is a gift and comes through the righteousness of Jesus. And thirdly, because Jesus is our Savior by faith, grace and peace are ours in abundance. There's lashings of it, oodles of it. God looked on us with a favour that we can never deserve. And whatever happens in our lives, and whatever the future holds, we have a total security with God, knowing that we are safe in His hands. You've probably seen a sign or notice at some time which says, "Let's save the world," or something to that effect. No doubt we have it in our power to do some good, but one thing we cannot do, we cannot save the world. We cannot even save ourselves. If everyone on the planet was prosperous and healthy, we'd still all be heading for death. Jesus and Jesus alone is our Savior. To know that and to act on that is beyond price. Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is Lord. What does Peter mean by saying Jesus is Lord? Well, I've selected just four aspects of the Lordship of Christ that Peter speaks of in this letter, just briefly. First, Jesus is God. He is our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, says verse 1. He is God become man. So through him and him alone, we can know God. It is not possible to have a true knowledge of God without knowing Jesus, because Jesus is God. Jesus himself said, "I am the way." The second thing I picked out is that Jesus is all-powerful. He's the source of everything we need. Verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He doesn't give us everything we think we need, but he has absolute divine power, so whatever we really need, he can and does give us. He is all-powerful. Just think back to the time he was on earth, the stilling of the storm, the turning of the water into wine, the raising of the dead. He is all-powerful. Thirdly, Jesus is in control. He's in control of the whole cosmos. Verse 8 of chapter 3 says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." And he's in control of our lives as well. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Our destiny is in his hands. He's in control. And the fourth aspect I want to mention tonight is that all glory belongs to him. And it's on that note that Peter ends his letter of Peter. He says in verse 18 of the last chapter, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." So that's the essence or core of this faith that's so precious to Peter. And you can see why. Because for Peter, Jesus is Lord and Jesus is Saviour. He is God become man, all-powerful, in ultimate control of the world and of our destiny. Our lives should be lived to his glory. And yet he is patient and merciful to us. He gives faith. All we do is accept that faith. He exchanges his righteousness for our unrighteousness as he dies for us on the cross. And as a result, if we have this precious, valuable faith, we are cleansed from our sins, no longer in danger at the judgment day, and able to look forward to being welcomed into his kingdom. And in the meantime, he has made available to us everything we need as we live for him. Peter not only knows that these things are true, he knows Jesus personally. Jesus is alive, and Peter has a living relationship with him, just as surely as he did during Jesus' earthly life. And Peter lives to serve Jesus. What things mean most to us? Is it the traditions that mean most to us, or Jesus? Is it our money or Jesus? Is it our safety or Jesus? At those meeting points in life's road when we have to choose, which way would you go? Which way do you go? We are living life now, so we have already made choices. Would you give anything to know Jesus by faith? If not, then we haven't understood that apart from him, everything is ultimately worthless. We haven't understood the danger we're in without him. We haven't understood how precious and valuable faith is in Christ. The challenge of this letter that Peter wrote is for us to hold faith in Christ as dearly and as firmly as he did. In these days, as at various times over the last 2,000 years, many people in the world are having to make choices regarding faith in Jesus or life on this earth. And many are choosing faith in Jesus and having their earthly lives taken. You can read a lot about these things in almost any Christian newspaper today. In fact, it's becoming so common that it's in the secular press as well. Perhaps at this moment, we don't have to make that choice. But the choices we do make are just as real and vital, and they have the same eternal consequences. What can deprive us of this precious, valuable faith? I'll mention three in closing. Spiritual blindness, failing to see how precious and valuable faith in Christ is. Forgetfulness, willfully ignoring what we know in our heart of hearts to be true. Scoffing or laughing at and dismissing God's promises as worthless fabrications. Listening to the lies of those who deny that Jesus is Saviour and Lord. And there were plenty of them around in Peter's day, and there are plenty around now who would tell us these things. Peter knew how valuable and precious was his faith in the Lord Jesus, and he was warning others and encouraging others who were being tempted to reduce the value of it in their lives. So how about us tonight? Do you understand how valuable faith in Jesus is? Is faith in Jesus Christ more precious and more valuable to you than anything? Absolutely anything? Or have you devalued it? I leave you with a question similar to the one I posed at the very beginning. What do the choices you make in your life show what is most precious and valuable to you? What do the choices you make in your life show what is most precious and valuable to you? Amen. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Father, your word challenges us in many different spheres of our life. Father, we pray that we may seek your wisdom as we answer these challenges, and you promise that you will meet these requests and you will give us wisdom. If there are any who, as of yet, do not know you, we pray that as you speak, they will respond and answer that call as Peter did. Yes, we will follow you. And that faith may become precious and real to them as they go through life. Father, we pray that those of us who are Christians and perhaps have been for years, we pray that we may continue to reevaluate where we are in relationship with you, to see if some of these things that challenged Peter challenge us, and whether we are willing to change because of our faith in you. So speak to us and enable us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.